I want to ask, first of all, before I forget, how did everything go with the big Halloween event downtown last week?
I just think it went tremendous, Bob. We had just an absolute beautiful evening. You couldn't have asked for a better weather evening. I would say there are definitely thousands of people. I've heard all kinds of numbers from 3,000 up to 10,000 people thought. I mean, so it was, I will say, I don't think I've ever seen more people in our downtown. And so it was a good thing. We closed off the streets, which I think with all those kids and parents and everything, it was definitely a good decision. All the kids I saw had lots of candy. So, mm-hmm. and so they were having fun. And the sheriff's department, police department, they had, you know, events down there, and all the fire department was there. So we just, you know, what a great community event. A lot we can expand on it. And I just love the ownership everybody takes in it. You know, I mean, we had a haunted house downtown if you wanted that. We had a lot of people that, again, support Fremont. They come and I just thank the community for doing that. It was a lot of fun. So,
as our elected leader of this community, do you want to share some thoughts about pedestrian and car safety matters come Halloween trick or treat night this weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, just take precautions, especially if you're a motorist that night, just a little extra awareness. You know, we're going to have, again, lots of kids and parents out, and just please be vigilant as we do this. It's a lot of fun. Enjoy it. I mean, I got three kids, and I know how much fun, you know, Halloween can be. Yeah. And we all want it to be a fun, safe evening. And so let's just do whatever you can to help that. So.
Very good. Okay. You have a guest that you brought along in the studio. I will let you do the honors.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to meet her already, and I even know how to spell her last name, but you can do it.
Well, this is, I believe, 9-1-1 kind of awareness month or week.
actually, it's not an awareness week or
okay.
anything. I just am wanting to increase education.
Okay.
In 9-1-1, I feel that that's something that is an important task that needs to be addressed. 911 education and things with adults, especially in older juveniles.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. I know you got a lot to talk about today, so we'd love to hear it. So
Sounds good.
We got to tell everybody who you are. Diane Schurz.
Yes, I'm Diana Schurz, and I work with Fremont Dodge County Communications here in Fremont, 911 dispatcher.
How'd you get into that and when?
I started back in April of 2018, and there was a job opening. I applied, really no prior experience or anything, just went for it, and I absolutely love it.
What's the first thing you say when a call comes in?
If you call in on a 911 line, we're going to say 911, where is your emergency? If you call in on an administrative line or non-911, we're going to say Fremont Dodge County Communications.
Hmm. Okay. And can you tell what device they're using when they call, like whether it's a cell phone or a landline?
Yes, yes. Actually, if you call on 911, we are able to differentiate between a cell phone and a landline used.
Do you ever get calls that they don't answer?
Oh, yes.
But you can tell it's probably an emergency, and how do you deal with that?
Yes, most definitely. A lot of times those are going to come in on your 911 phone. With the 911, we are able to use our mapping services to try and attempt to locate you. Again, as we say, 911, where is your emergency? That's the most important step in this whole process, is locating where you're at. I don't know where you're at, I can't send the right help if right. I don't know what's going on, those types of things. So we're going to use our mapping services to be able to try and narrow down that location of where you are at. Once again, that mapping may be real accurate, or it may be, a block or two off. If you're in an apartment building, we most likely are not going to know which floor you're on, which apartment number you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some things that are a hindrance to us. We do have, we keep records of all incoming calls. And so we are going to document phone numbers, things along those lines. We're going to, in the background, be looking up that phone number. We're going to see if we have any prior history with that phone number. From there, we're going to go ahead and see if we can locate an address, locate a name, locate anything we can to be able to find your location and get some sort of response there. Initially, we're going to start with officers, see if we can figure out what's going on for safety purposes. That's where we start. And then they can advise further if they need more assistance.
When you're on duty, are you there all alone?
No, we always have two individuals at minimum on duty. When we're fully staffed, we will have three during certain hours, typically from 2 in the afternoon until 2 overnight.
Oh.
We would have three people. But for sure, we have two. At a minimum, we have two.
Do you have people who call knowing there's an emergency, but they are not the person that needs the help? They're calling to let you know somebody else is fallen or hurt or choking or something?
Yes, that does happen as well. That leads to another problem. If you're not on scene, it's very difficult to give us updated information. If somebody's choking, is somebody helping them? If somebody's fallen, are they inside, outside? Where exactly are they at? Is there a way into the house if they're inside? Those types of things. It's very beneficial for us to have a contact with someone on scene.
Wow. When you dispatch someone, will they need to know that there may be issues on the scene, like maybe a dog that is not leashed but loose in the house, or maybe in a backyard, and that may be the entrance to the house?
Yes, those are all going to be questions we're going to ask. The safety of our responders is a key part of all of this. We don't want to send anybody into a dangerous situation. We're going to ask if there's weapons in the residence. We're going to ask if there's been alcohol or drug use. This is all just something that is a safety for our responders. It's not to try and cause harm or, further problems for anybody. We do ask if there's a dog on scene. Is that dog kenneled? Or, if the person has fallen, they're unable to kennel their animal. Mm-hmm. We can at least give the firefighters the knowledge that there may be a dog on scene. The resident says the dog is friendly or so on.
Do you dispatch and then continue your questioning of the caller?
Sometimes, as I said, we always have two people that is on duty at a time. And so when we're not real busy, if there's something going on that needs immediate dispatch, our partner may go ahead and get that initial response going. We do have an automated dispatch for the Fremont Fire Department where we're able to assign a code. And when we assign those units, it goes out as an automated dispatch. Our firefighters then can see in our CAD system, which is the system we use to document everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to see that as well. They can go into that, look at the call, get further information and knowledge from that call, ask anything further that they do need as well. But we work together. If it's very busy, we're both on a call at the same time, you have to get that call dispatched, and that may mean telling the person on the phone, you're gonna not hear me for a minute, or I'm still listening to you, but I've got to get officers on the way or help on the way.
My land. In the 5 years you've been at this, then you've grown in your skills and your knowledge unbelievably. What changes have you seen, either in equipment or just anything?
There's always changes in technology. There's always changes. We just learn new things every day.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you're going to get, what you're going to run into. We have gone to the NG911, which is the newest technology for 911. That is all through the fiber optic network. As we've all seen, we've been having some struggles there, but I think once we get everything worked out, that's going to be a much smoother system. Should be able to provide better information to the dispatcher to be able to get that call dispatched, maybe such as a floor level. There's just some background things with that NG911 that is beneficial to us.
Wow. Mayor Spellberg, this is an interesting area. Do you have a chance to deal with this very much or not?
A little bit. We have the PSAP is the name of the board. It's a governing board that is over the communications division. That's a split between Dodge County and Fremont. So this was a few years ago. We came together as a county and a city to have this joint communications division. And this really kind of helps save money, and it's economies of scale. It's in it. And so I do serve on that board, and we meet occasionally. And so, you know, I did this thing for me, and Diane touched on it. You know, what our dispatchers really go through. I mean, this is a tough career choice, you know, and the amount of kind of emotional, you know, stability and what it takes to take these calls and communicate effectively and the training that goes behind it. And it can be a difficult, taxing job, and but it can also be very rewarding as well. And I think Diane's a great example of that and kind of growing into the role as a leader. I know she came out, you know, to my office and said, "Hey, Mayor," this was a few weeks ago, "I really want to go on the radio," you know, taking the initiative to say, "I want to talk about what's going on in our 911 communications and how important it is to the community." And so I thought that initiative was really impressive, and glad she did that. And so it's also critical to our fire and police departments as well, when they're in communication all the time with them. And the better we can communicate, the quicker, you know, we can respond, or the more services we can provide, the better service to the community that we can provide. And what I think is really important about ours is it's local. I mean, you know, a lot of communities are, you know, can't find folks, and they have to hire out or contract with another county or city. You know, what we have is a local communications division here that is staffed locally, that, you know, that understand the community. And I think that all helps in the quality of service that we give to the public, because that's really what this is about, is when you call 911, what kind of service are you going to get on the other end? And so I think Shelley Holzerlin is our director at the communications director, she's done a tremendous job, and the team, you know, we should be very, very proud of what we have here in Fremont and Dodge County.
And as sure as if you could, what would you like all the rest of us to know that we have not pursued in this line of questioning from me to you? What else should we know?
Well, there's a lot to know about 911. I guess we could have many conversations about the different aspects of 911. But the biggest part, again, in all of this is your location. It's very important to know where you are at all times when you're driving, whether that be on a highway or, you know, be aware of which highway you're on, which county road you may be near, which town you last went through. That's going to help narrow down your location for us if you're able to give us that little bit of information in those types of things. If you do have to call 911 and you're not in a safe situation, leave that line open. We're going to continue to try to locate you. We're going to continue to do our best effort to get an officer out, and you may be in an apartment or something along those lines, but we're going to see if we hear anything. We're going to go through and do our best to locate people. We are also working to try and increase our ability with the Latino community in Fremont. Right now, we are using a language line, which once we put the caller on hold, I believe with that communication barrier, sometimes that leaves them thinking maybe we've hung up. And we don't want that to happen. We're not hanging up. We're getting a communication service on the phone that will help us with the language barrier and translation, those types of things. And so we also are working. There's some new technology out in that area that our phone service is providing that will automatically transfer the text or translate that text to whatever language your phone is set in.
Oh, wow.
And so when you text us, it will come through in English, but when we text back, whatever language your phone is set in, it will text back to that language.
Fascinating.
And that will enable us much better communication with someone. It's easier as a communicator to have that person on the phone. We're trained to listen to what's going on in the background. That's a huge part of this, is knowing what's going on in the background. Uh-huh. But if the best you can do is to text to 911, that's available. Right. And we want people to use that if that's the service that's going to meet their need. Right now, we don't have that ability, but it is new technology. Shelley Holzerland is working on that. Mm-hmm. She's doing everything she can to try and get that new technology into our agency so that we're able to go from there.
Good. I got to ask you one more question, then we're kind of running out of town and
sure.
out of time, not out of town. The mayor may want to run me out of town.
I know.
So a week ago, I drove out of state up into South Dakota to see a homecoming football game for a college.
Okay.
Once I get into South Dakota, if I got an issue and I pull over the side of the road and I hit 911 on my phone, what happens? I'm out of state.
Okay. You're still going to go into the local PSAP. Your phone should not be based. There are certain phones that are... address-based. You know, you set up that phone or you set up that service as an address-based. So the address that's going to come through to the PSAP may show as whatever address you have set that up as. But the typical phone, most common, what's going to happen is you're going to just, it's going to go into the local PSAP with the latitude and longitude of your location, a tower location first, and then a more specific location. Mm. And you're able to, from there, hopefully be able to locate, you know, where you're at, what's going on. They're going to work with you on the phone as well. What highway are you on? You know, what town did you last go through?
Okay.
Those types of things. We're going to ask questions. We're very nosy people. We ask a lot of questions, but that's our
they
job.
Have to be.
That's our job.
And I know you're not a big fan of acronyms. We've said PSAP a lot.
Right.
And Diane, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is Public Service Answering Point.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's
or
correct.
Or just 911 call center.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a call center. It's a 911 call center is what it is. And,
right.
you know, whenever you're traveling or anything like that, so even just going from here to Omaha, you know, as you get closer to Omaha, your phone is going to be hitting off the towers. That are closer to Omaha. And that's going to happen everywhere you go. Even regardless if your phone is set up with a different address, you're still going to go in to the local PSAP most times. It just may show up as the address or mapping may show that point that is nowhere near accurate. I've had a phone that showed it was in Texas, and clearly the person was here in Fremont.
Right. Fascinating. Sometime we should pick up on this conversation down the road a little bit, and there may be much more to be able to share, but this is fascinating.
Sure.
I have enjoyed it, and I think the listeners probably got more out of it, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Before we're out of time, Mayor Spellerberg, can I ask you just two quick things?
Yes.
One, I know that there's an issue going on with the possible growth, redevelopment at the Fremont Mall. Mm-hmm. Anything new on that can be shared?
It was continued at the last city council meeting to the November 14th meeting. We just needed to shore up a few more things in the agreement. But again, this is would be a $14 million redevelopment plan for the mall, which would help attract a tenant to the mall, as well as there's some public improvements, including the parking lot, as well as the USA Steak Buffet building, if not leased, would have to be torn down. And so we are, again, working on that, and the full agreement is up on the last meeting if anyone is interested to look through that. But there would be also a 2% occupation tax. $6 million of that would come from a 2% occupation tax inside the mall tenants outside of Hy-Vee. And so, you know, this was a request by the mall to the city.
Right.
And so we have been negotiating and working with them to, be able to bring something forward. So
okay. About 3 weeks ago, I asked and I said, we'll give you time enough to think about this. But I have been curious, how has the issue of overnight parking in the downtown core area been in regard to more people living mm-hmm. and working downtown and some working long hours downtown? How's that worked out?
Yeah, well, we recently, you know, this about a year ago, we changed from 8 to 5, there'd be 2-hour parking, and then we would allow overnight parking. And so that's when the 505 building came online. Bob, to be honest with you, I haven't heard much chatter from this at all. You know, I think, you know, the thing was we did have a lot of parking downtown. It just wasn't right on street, you know, the Cavitch parking lot. We have a second level there. And I think just the coming and going of traffic has kind of worked itself out a little bit. So unless, you know, I hear something after this, I'd be happy to hear from the public on how you feel, how that's going. But, you know, I appreciate an understanding from the public. You know, because, you know, you go to a downtown area, you may not be able to park right in front of, you know, the store. You may have to walk a little bit, but that's just part of it. And again, I think things are working out. I really do.
Well, I appreciate that, because I have not heard anything, and I just wondered if everything was working seemingly well.
Usually when you don't, you know, but hey, if there's any comments on that, I'd be happy to take them. So
any news from your office before we let you go?
That's all for today.
Very good, Mayor Spellberg. Okay. Good to see you.
Thank you.
And Diana Schurz, good to see you. Come back again in a couple months and we can pursue this.
Sure. Thank you.
Very good. On 98.9 FM at 1340 AM in Fremont, Nebraska.